Road Trip After Hours presents our next guest. He went from a cowboy to a Texas billionaire, John Bradshaw Layfield. From the early days to busting heads with his best friend, he never lost sight of his destiny. Traveling the roads, hard work and perseverance, eliminating every man in his way, trials and tribulations, unholy battles, and even a border war couldn't stop John Bradshaw Layfield from collecting gold and reaching his destiny.
NBL, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news for you, player.
The WWE Hall of Fame, John Bradshaw Layfield, on the next Road Trip After Hours.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to an all-new episode of Road Trip After Hours. I'm your host, Mac Davis, along with my WWE Hall of Famer co-host, Mr. Teddy Long. Hey, Teddy, how you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on, Max? What an exciting day we got today. We got a great guest today, and I want to also mention, you know, before we introduce this man, that this gentleman here does not do podcasts, okay? I'm going to let y'all know that right now. So to have him to come on and be with me and Mac is certainly an honor, man, and I certainly really appreciate it. But what I want to do, first of all, before I introduce him, Mac, I want you to go ahead and introduce him, because I've got a list here and I got my pen. I'm trying to figure out the total of money that him and Ron Simmons owed me from the time that I used to ride with them. They never paid me, so I've got receipts. And I'm trying to figure up the total amount so I can make sure I give it to him before he leaves. So go ahead and introduce him while I do this figuring up here.
I'm glad you even brought that up, Teddy. First of all, our guest is a WWE Hall of Famer himself. He is none other than Mr. JBL, John Bradshaw Layfield. Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I want to tell you something. Teddy Long is one of the best people on the entire planet, but he's also the cheapest person on the entire planet. He never paid for trans. He didn't pay for gas. He didn't pay for nothing.
Now,
wait a minute.
I heard a different story. Now, Teddy tells me for the last several years, we hang out and go to these different shows, and he always tells me the story about you guys in the car when it comes to a toll booth. And you never managed to have any money in your pockets or anything to pay for the tolls, so he always had to cover the tolls. Is that true?
Teddy turned into Galileo going to the toll booth. He'd be looking up at the stars. He'd be looking up at the skies. He'd be pretending to be asleep. I mean, we'd be driving along. Teddy'd be talking. All of a sudden, he'd see a toll booth.
How bad was Teddy? I mean, how cheap was he really? I mean, I hear you guys always give him a hard time. Was he really cheap?
There's 8 or 9 billion people on the planet. He's the cheapest out of all of them. There's people in remote villages. There's people in big cities. Teddy's the cheapest man on the planet.
JBL, let me ask you, there's a story, another story that he talks about quite often, which is the story about Ron Simmons being left out in the snow. And he talks about after he left Ron in the snow and he got in the car and you're in the car with him and you start taking off. He's about a mile down the road. And every time he tells me he's a mile down the road and it's snowing outside when he tells this story, I'm thinking you're in the back, not telling him right away. You're just letting him dig it a hole deeper and deeper by letting him travel farther and farther away from Ron. Is that right?
No, not at all. Me and Ron had been imbibing ourselves in a few beverages. And so I tell Teddy, I said, Teddy, pull over. I got to go to the bathroom. And Teddy looks at me. He goes, again? I said, Teddy, I got to go. We're in the middle of nowhere. It's snowing like crazy. There's nobody on the road. I said, Teddy, just pull over. So finally, Teddy pulls over. I get out. Ron gets out. I get back in. Teddy drives off. And I'm just looking at him because I thought he was going to pull up, you know, a few feet and play a joke, you know, which wasn't that funny when you talk about Ron's sons. But then he kept driving and just kept driving. And I thought, what is he doing? So I'm just staring at him. Finally, he looks over and goes, what? And I said, Teddy, that's not that funny. He goes, what's not funny? I said, leaving Ron back there. And he said, man, I didn't leave Ron. He goes, where's Ron? I said, you left him in the snow. By the time we got back to Ron, Ron was standing there with his hand on his hip. He is and Ron don't sell nothing. He got snow built up on his hair and snow built up on his arm where he's sitting there. And he's just looking at it. And as we're driving, we're rugged. Hey guys, listen, we just need to pull over and you guys go ahead and fight and get this out of the way. And then we just go on the Teddy, would you shut up? Would you shut up?
And I also told Mac, a lot of people don't know this, but that night was the first time Ron said damn and never used it on TV. When I backed up, he looks right at me. Damn long. He does the first one.
That's all he said was damn long. You two guys in the car. Hey, listen, I've never seen Ron sell anything. Now, this was the only time Ron was sitting in the back seat, and I thought, I better quit joking because Ron may grab Teddy at any point.
And I'm looking in my rearview mirror more than I'm looking out my windshield because I'm thinking he's going to grab me and just choke me out at any time.
He was just sitting in the back seat. He's soaking wet. He's still got snow on him, and he's not saying a word. And I thought, this could be the scariest thing I've ever been a part of.
You got to work with him quite a bit, Ron Simmons. You got to work with him quite a bit. In the WWF, WWE. Was that some of the best fun? I take away the money and take away position in the company, just for you personally, was that one of the most fun times you had in wrestling?
The biggest break I ever got in my life and was riding with Ron Simmons and Teddy Long. That was a blessing beyond belief. I didn't, you know, those guys are not just... They taught me a lot, but they're just good people. I mean, they're just good friends. You know, we had so much fun riding up and down the roads. And you're right. You know, we were making some money during the Attitude Era that we weren't making a few years before. You know, money was not that great when I first got there. Yeah. You know, business was bad. And then, you know, Stone Cold got hot. The Rock got hot. And, you know, business got through the roof. And all of a sudden, we start making money. But you're right. It wasn't about the money. I had more fun riding with Ron and Teddy than I've had doing anything in my entire life. That was, I wish people say, what do you miss? A car ride. That's what I miss. I miss Ron and Teddy.
Are there any stories, Teddy, between you and JBL that happened on SmackDown? Because a lot of my memories always, you know, was you and JBL in the ring. And John, I'm going to be honest with you, your JBL years were my favorite years because you had some matches. And of course, you won the championship. But that particular run was just well done to me. It was comical at times. It was serious at times, bloody at times. And it was just incredible. Teddy, any memories between you two working together in the ring?
Well, John and I had great chemistry because, you know, John always, you know, was that big standout guy. And I think the one night was a real good night that me and him had a lot of fun doing. And he was trying to bribe me. He was all up on me, give me all this nice stuff. And all of a sudden, I tells him he has to go one-on-one with The Undertaker. And then he flips completely out on me right there. Hey, so those were some good times.
There's a picture on the internet I see all the time of me on my knees.
Yes.
And I'm talking to Teddy, and I'm trying to get the title belt that I thought I just won. But I don't know that Batista's coming in over this from the Raw to SmackDown. And Teddy's about to announce him. And I'm just sitting there like, huh? It was.
Did y'all practice at all that bit? I mean, did you talk it over? Or was that just off the cuff?
No, we did that in the house shows every night.
That's what made it, because your facial expressions, John, and I've said this for years in other interviews, the facial expressions you would give when he would say you're going to go one-on-one with The Undertaker was priceless. Those shots, your expression alone sold the match, because you could tell, oh, he knows his ass is in trouble. You know, it just came across that well.
Well, here's the other thing, too. a lot of that right there is what we don't have today.
True.
That's the way John and I was brought up, the old school way. Michael Hayes told me one time, he said to me, he said, you really don't have to do nothing but give a facial sometimes. You know, that's all they can see from there. Like when I did stuff with Vicky Guerrero, I didn't do a lot of talking, but I showed people that, yeah, one day, you know, it's coming, you know. And so John and I worked together then because John would sell. I knew how to sell. So we always had a great time. And we also knew this. If we didn't sell, Vince would be right in our ass as soon as we got in the gorilla. So we always understood, keep the boss happy.
Let me ask you about another match, John. The match with Eddie Guerrero got very bloody. I can't remember what show that was. You may be able to, but where you guys just beat the crap out of each other in that ring and were left in a bloody mess. Any stories between you and Eddie working together?
Oh, a million of them. You know, Eddie was as good in my career as anybody. You know, Eddie was the right guy. If it hadn't been for Eddie, JBL would have probably been a one-off. Not probably would have been. He, his brother Chavo, came up with the idea to give his mother a heart attack on a Mother's Day weekend in El Paso while they're honoring their late father, Gory Guerrero. And you know, Eddie sold out the Staples Center when we were there for that match you're talking about. Eddie was like grabbing a live wire that wasn't grounded. Yes. You know, you get out there and Teddy will understand because a lot of the older guys were, of course, nobody was like Eddie. I mean, you know, you people say we needed a bunch of Eddie Guerreros today. We didn't have a bunch back then. We had one.
True.
Right. And
when he got out there, he felt things that were just, it was like being out there with a magician. I mean, it was just amazing being out there with him. It was so much fun being out there with Eddie. He was a perfect, he and Teddy were the perfect foil for me. You know, yes. I'm this big, rich, blowhard, you know, Wall Street guy. And Teddy's the authority figure that I try to bully around and peanut-headed Teddy Long, and I got the better of him, And all of a sudden, he gets the better of me, and all of a sudden, you know, you're able to sell it and turn into this absolute coward, you know? And then same with Eddie. You know, he was a smaller guy. He was everything that I was against, you know, the character was against. You know, these guys coming into America, this, of course, he's from America, which made him even better. Everything about JBL was perfect to fit against Eddie Guerrero and be the bad guy. Same as it was with Teddy Long and same it was with Undertaker.
The name JBL and the character change itself, did that come from you or did that creative come to you with that? How did that all come to be?
You know, I don't know. I pitched a character similar to this, and I don't know if that's where the impetus came from. I know when I first got talked to about Vince, he mentioned that a little bit earlier, but that, you know, I'd mentioned something like this. So I don't know if it was his idea and I kind of spurred a little bit more for him. Or I don't know how it came about. It came either directly from Vince. It may have come from an idea from me. I'm not sure. I know that Vince was asked later, was it a J.R. Ewing emphasis, inspiration? Vince didn't see it like J.R. Ewing from Dallas at all. I did, you know, because I grew up in Texas and J.R. Ewing was biggest thing, you know, in Texas and everybody loved the bad guy. That's how I saw JBL, plus kind of a ripoff of Ted DiBiase. But Vince didn't see it that way at all. Vince saw it as a complete different figure.
I did, too. I thought it was a very unique character and one that, you know, I would imagine to you was unexpected because this is towards the end of your career, really. This is how you ended up as JBL. You went through so many transformations over your years in professional wrestling that ending up as JBL and becoming the champion and the person that you were had to be a big surprise to you.
Yeah, it was a huge surprise to me. You know, after 9/11, you know, there was this big patriotic fervor in the United States, and I was going to Iraq a bunch. Me and Ron both were, you know, and Ron's a little bit older than me, and Ron was, you know, his natural time had come to retire. I'd been happy being an APA member my entire life, you know, but because Ron was getting ready to retire, you know, he's had tons of injuries. He wrestled quite a lot longer than he should have, and a lot of that had to do with our friendship. And so when Ron ended up retiring, you know, I'm just kind of left out there. And I really figured I was going to be kind of the liaison between WWE and going to Iraq and Afghanistan, which I was fine with. And all of a sudden, just I got lucky. You know, Big Show was hurt. Brock Lesnar had left the company to go, you know, end up becoming UFC heavyweight champion via the NFL. I think Kurt Angle was hurt. They needed somebody within 6 weeks, and I just got lucky. And they put me in that spot, and it was against Eddie Guerrero. And again, I got lucky because of Eddie. It all worked.
Teddy, anything you want to hop in here with before we have to say goodbye? Because we're going to run out of time.
Well, I just want to just thank John once again for coming on. And I want to thank him also for the great speech he made for me and at my Hall of Fame induction. Yes. Him and Ron inducted me. And I want to say that John said some things about me that I know, you know, he would have got a lot of heat for. But that let me know one thing, you know, he wasn't playing around or nothing. You know, he really cared about me. And that meant a lot to me because I've been friends with him and Ron for a long time. And John, he's about learning stuff from me. I learned a lot from him, too, because he's been around a long time, too. And before we go, I just want to remind John of this. Saturday night, me and Ron were together in Charlotte at Asa Wrestling Entertainment. And they asked Ron about a road story, too, just like you're saying. And Ron told a story about the time we got pulled over on our way to Louisville, Kentucky. And that Ron was telling about the all the beer cans that John had in front of him when the police pulled us over. So everybody's wondering, how did they get beer on Sunday? Because back then, you didn't get no alcohol on Sunday. And I told him, I said, well, you know, JBL, the big millionaire, he just barged right into the convenience store, pulled that girl off to the side, gave her $50. She opened the refrigerator right up and gave us a case of beer. That's it.
That's 100% true. Oh, yeah, 100% true. I walked in there and gave her $50. I said, if I put $50 here, will you put a 12-pack of beer? We make an exchange? And she said, you dang right we will.
We used to go to the bait stores on Sundays. That's where we usually found our beers, in the bait store. But John, I wish we could keep talking. I just can't. We're running out of time here. I do want to get in real quick that you have a podcast along with Gerald Briscoe, and it's Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw. Where do people find all that for you?
Yeah. Whatever you find it on YouTube. We just have a lot of fun. We don't do any heat. We don't do any bear anybody. We just have fun telling the story. Teddy was on it, and we had oh my goodness. One of the best times we ever had was with Teddy. Every time I see Teddy, I have to text Ron and I say, look what he's doing.
And let me say this: a lot of people don't know I named my dog Rufus, and here's how that came about. Every time John would see me, he would say, Theodore Rufus Long. He would always say that. And so when I got my dog, I just started thinking about names, and I thought about John. I'm like, yeah, he called me. I said, that's perfect, and that's why I named my dog Rufus, because John called me that all the time.
That's cool.
Hey, when Teddy will text me, I'll say, send me a picture of Mr. Rufus, and he'll send me a picture. I'm all happy then.
I think John, he loves Rufus more than I do.
Well, let him pay for the vet bills then.
Well, no, that's all right. I got it.
Oh, you have it. This is the first time you've ever had anything, according to John. You're kind of
cheating. That's because of Mr. Rufus.
Well, I've had a chance to quit drinking, so I've saved a little money.
All right, we're out of here. John, thank you very much again. And again, folks, if you want to catch his podcast with Gerald Briscoe, it's a fantastic podcast, by the way. Especially, it's kind of like what Teddy and I do, just as he mentioned. It's a very just kind of fun, sit back, relax, have a good time. That's all it really is. We're not trying to down anybody. And John, we appreciate you coming on. I know that you're a busy man, and we certainly appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, anytime Teddy Long asks me to do something, I love Teddy, and I'm going to do it if I can.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I love you too, man.
All right. I'm Mac Davis. That is WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long and our special guest, WWE Hall of Famer John Bradshaw Layfield. We'll see you next week.
Holla.